I'm fixing my screen right now. Just give me a couple seconds here. All right, my name is Joanna Schisler, and I am a program director at the National Science Foundation. And I'm also a member of the PIPP working group. And I really want to thank you all for coming here today, and I appreciate your participation today. We are really excited to bring you this new funding opportunity. And so the layout for this next hour for this webinar is as follows. I have about 15 slides that I will present that tells you a little bit about the PIPP working group. And then we'll talk about solicitation specific criteria because this is such a unique solicitation. We will open up the session to question and answers. You have a question and answer panel in Zoom where you can send questions and we will then answer them to the best of our ability. This session is recorded. And this will be on the PIPP site within a couple of days. We will also have a list of frequently asked questions that are going to be coming soon. And if you need further clarification, you can always email us at PIPP@nsf.gov. And so what I'm going to do now is go to the next slide. So I want to tell you a little bit about how our group got started. So PIPP stands for Predictive Intelligence for Pandemic Prevention. We call it PIP. You know, it cannot be understated that prevention and early detection of disease are cornerstones of strategic investments in public health. And in addition to public health, these are cornerstones for the resilience of other animals, including wildlife populations and agricultural animals, and in that of sustaining agricultural crops and other plants. And what we know from recent and past pandemics is that there are costly consequences of not containing a pathogen, and that mitigation of outbreaks require multiple disciplines to collaborate. And so the NSF response to this has been to initiate Predictive Intelligence for Pandemic Prevention, or PIP, as a way to seed and catalyze fundamental research to develop transdisciplinary capabilities needed to inform future infectious disease outbreaks. And so what I want you to be aware of is that earlier this year, there were four PIPP workshops that brought together interdisciplinary experts in the biological, engineering, computer, and social and behavior sciences. And the reason to have these workshops is to have scientists begin conversations and catalyze ideas on how to advance scientific understanding beyond the state of the art in pre-emergence and emergence forecasting, in real-time monitoring, and the detection of inflection point events to prevent and mitigate the occurrence of future pandemics. And the link is down below, you can see it here. And within that link, you'll have external links to each one of these workshops, and you will see links to agendas and to some of the talks. And what I want you to realize is that it was sponsored by SCIES, Bio, Engineering, and SBE directorates, and this was done so purposefully to start building collaborations. And so what came out of that was this PIPP initiative, and this is an initiative that focuses on fundamental research in biological sciences, social sciences, computer and information sciences, and engineering. And it's the fundamental research that is needed to tackle grand challenges related to the prediction and prevention of pandemics. And so there's two phases to this. Phase one is a solicitation for planning grants, and that's going to be discussed here. And there's also a phase two. And phase two is NSF is anticipating releasing a phase two center grant solicitation, and that's going to be around 2023. We're not going to discuss that here today, but what I want you to note, and I'll say this again later, is that you do not have to submit to this phase one or be funded by this phase one funding announcement to participate in this anticipated phase two center grant. So really the whole goal of this phase one solicitation is to help you get groups established so that you can submit competitive grants for the phase two center grant solicitation. So as I said, what we're interested in looking at are grand challenges. Well, so you probably wanna know, or what are some examples of grand challenges? And we listed four of them, and these four were from the workshops that were held earlier this year. And these are just examples. They're not intended to be limiting. They're just intended to spark you thinking about predicting pandemics and where we're thinking about things. So for example, a grand challenge could be pre-emergence studies that predict rare events in multi-scale, complex, and dynamic systems. Another grand challenge could be developing technological innovations in sensing and data collection that allow you to sense or collect data in people or in wild animals for predictive intelligence. Another grand challenge is exploring the interdependence of biological and behavioral mechanisms across scales from the molecular to the global. So that could be understanding how humans and animal and other animals or even different animals have an action and reaction effect. And then a final example is the relationship between human behavior and disease development and transmission in either the natural or built environment or in communities. So once again, these slides will be made available to you. This isn't an end-all be-all, these are just examples. So the next thing that I want to talk to you about for the next two slides are what are the key characteristics that we think will make a competitive proposal. And the first is explicitly stating what a scientific grand challenge is, and we want it to be ambitious and forward-looking. And this should be a grand challenge program, a problem that's motivated by PIPP with a clear justification for the choice of the problem with respect to a future pandemic landscape. So this grand challenge should be centered around a critical and broad question in pandemic predictive intelligence and should be poised for breakthroughs by collaborations across disciplines. Another key characteristic is going to be a high-level view of the project. So a description of how the identified sub-projects and other pieces fit that grand challenge that was selected for the project. What we're looking for is something that gives us a bird's-eye view of the center-scaled project that's envisioned, and I think a visual description is often helpful. Another characteristic we're looking for is a research agenda. And this can be for one or more targeted projects that include a range of objectives and research approaches that are clearly integrated under that coordinated vision of the grand challenge. So we're not encouraging proposals in which there are specialized research group, but they're all pursuing independent projects that somehow aren't going back under that grand challenge umbrella. We want these research approaches for sub-projects to be innovative with potential to advance the involved disciplines. And there's a couple more characteristics here. Another characteristic is the team itself. A competitive proposal will have a diverse, multidisciplinary, and potentially multi-organizational team. There should be evidence of a collaborative culture that values and benefits from these shared research and interdisciplinary training. The team should be designed to achieve the goals of the grand challenge and to demonstrate commitment to diversity and inclusion in composition and leadership. We expect that budgets will be commensurate with the project role and goals. We also expect that a competitive proposal will have the role of each team member to be clearly described and justified. And also, just so you know, these team members may be from a single organization or multiple organizations, and I'm sure that'll be some of the questions that you all have for us today. And then finally, a key characteristic is a discussion about a plan for scaling to center opportunities. So we're looking for activities that outline how they're going to develop communities and capacity for a full center operation through diverse activities such as visioning, workshops, education and training to overcome disciplinary boundaries, development of partnerships, and engagement of stakeholders. So once again, if we go back to this other slide, you know, we're looking at key characteristics for a competitive proposal that has this ambitious and forward-looking scientific grand challenge, a high-level view of the project that shows how all of the sub-projects underneath this goes back to that grand challenge, a research agenda that also includes the range of objectives and the research and how that goes back to the grand challenge, a team that's diverse and multidisciplinary, can be multi-organizational, and then a plan for scaling to center operations. And so those are things that are key characteristics of a competitive proposal. There are also some things, you know, so this is a planning grant that's new, and it could have potentially transformative capabilities. What we want you to understand is that this is not simply a funding opportunity that can be an extension for research projects on infectious diseases that can be submitted to an existing core or special programs in single directorates or divisions across NSF. There are four directorates here that are a part of PIPP. And so proposals should span research across bio, the SCIES directorate, the engineering directorate, and SBE directorates, and also be compelling across the subdiscipline span. So specifically, proposals submitted in response to this solicitation should address critical problems relating to predictive intelligence for pandemic prevention, and they also must integrate a combination of innovative biological, computational engineering and systems level techniques or tools. So we're really looking for something that is integrative and that is a larger scale program. And in addition, there should be intellectual merit and broader impacts that are commensurate with the size of award. And so we're looking for these multidisciplinary teams and a convergence research approach that's focusing on pandemic prevention. So sometimes it helps to also see what kinds of investigations would be outside of the scope of this PIPP announcement, and that includes the following. Projects that are limited to specialized research groups that are pursuing independent projects where there's no clear vision for how these go back to the grand challenge. So this isn't something that would be outside of the PIPP announcement. Also, projects that do not identify an overarching grand challenge problem that's motivated by PIPP. Projects that do not engage teams with balanced participation from computer information sciences, biology, engineering, and social behavior and economic sciences as relevant to the identified grand challenge would be outside of the scope. Projects that fail to delineate the role and expertise of the participants would also fall outside of the scope, or projects that do not discuss associated risks and mitigation plans. So this is a good list of things to make sure you do not do. So I just want to remind you that there are four directorates that are part of the solicitation. They're listed here: biological sciences, computer and information science and engineering, and social and behavioral and economic sciences. And we point this out on a separate slide to really emphasize that that we are asking for proposals that are taking this multidisciplinary approach at handling pandemic prevention. So there are a couple of nuts and bolts things that I want you to know about the solicitation, but you can see the solicitation in detail for more instructions. Remember, this is a planning grant, so you'll want to identify your grand challenge. You'll want to identify the fundamental research and show how it's multidisciplinary and integrative research and education. These are 18-month grants. We are asking you, we expect no more than $1 million per project. The expectation is that awarding of this planning grant would put you in a good position to submit a phase two proposal, a center scale proposal. But remember, you do not have to submit a phase one proposal or have a phase one proposal awarded to compete in the phase two center scale proposal. When you submit this proposal for phase one, make sure that the title of your proposal begins with PIPP phase one, followed by a colon, and then the title of the project. Please be aware, this is one of the more important things here. A person can be a PI or a co-PI on only one proposal. So please make sure that you are not accidentally having yourself as a co-PI more than one proposal. And last, after submission of your proposal, you are not done. We want you to send an email to PIPP@nsf.gov with a single Microsoft PowerPoint slide summarizing the vision of your PIPP planning grant proposal. So please don't forget that extra step. So I'm sure you guys are all interested in the timeline here. We probably should have said this to begin with. The proposals will be due by on October 1st, 2021, 5 p.m. local time. The most important thing here for you to know is that even if you have multiple institutions, we want it to come in as one proposal with subawards. All right, so you cannot do a collaborative proposal with multiple institutions and have multiple proposals within one project. We want one proposal with subawards. If you have questions, you can email us. No letter of intent is required, and we aim to make awards by the end of March 2022. When we talk about merit review criteria, what we're trying to show here is how these proposals will be reviewed. Of course, we have the intellectual merit and broader impacts that review criteria that NSF is well known for. There will also be solicitation specific criteria. And here are the questions. How well does the proposed project address the grand challenge? Does the proposal bring together complementary expertise? Does it build on leading edge research across multiple disciplines? Does it connect and contribute to a broader intellectual context of work? And does it develop synergistic links to related efforts as appropriate? So those are the types of questions that we'll be asking the panelists to look for. We'll also be asking if the project management plan addresses all the required elements. You'll be asked for a project management plan for the submission, see the solicitation for detail. Proposals without a project management plan will be returned without review. And just so that you know, we will have reviewers that include educational and social science experts to complement the technical expertise as well. This is also listed in the solicitation. Just know that there are some conditions of award. If you're awarded a phase one planning grant, one or more of your project representatives must attend two meetings during the active award period. The first one will be a virtual kickoff meeting during the early phase of the award. And the second meeting will be at the end of month 15, and that will be held in Washington, D.C. area, if that's possible, or virtually otherwise. And the proposal budgets must include appropriate amounts for travel to these meetings. And this is just my last slide here. So remember that we have a funding opportunity page with links to the solicitations and announcements, and it's shown here. This will also be the same page where we have the recording of this webinar, where we have a list of frequently asked questions, and where we also have other communications. If you have questions about the solicitation or you want to send a one-page prospectus to us, please use the following email. It's pipp@nsf.gov. Of course, as program directors, you can look us up and you can find our individual email addresses. We're asking you to use this PIPP email address so that we can keep track and make sure that we're responding to you in a timely manner. Recording and the transcript of the webinar and the slides will be accessible. We'll have an FAQ that will be published soon after the seminar on our website. And that's just an introduction to this announcement. So what I'm going to do is stop sharing my screen. I'm going to thank you for your attention, and we're going to start answering some questions.
Thank you so much, Joanna.
Yeah, you're welcome. So Scott, do you have a couple of questions that are coming in?
I do. Hi everyone, I'm Scott Acton, and I'm gonna ask Joanna a question to lead off here. Is it required in the PIPP phase one that the Envision Center be multi-organizational? And how important is this? And how many organizations should be involved in a center?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this program actually encourages multi-organizational efforts. It's not required, but the team should be designed to achieve the goals of the Grand Challenge. And if that means you need 10 organizations or 7 organizations, then that's perfectly fine. Make sure that you're demonstrating commitment to diversity, inclusion, in composition and leadership, and that you have a plan to show that there's going to be transdisciplinary training and education. And I should say, of course, one of the questions will be, and I'll stop there. Another question I see, Scott, actually, I'll turn around and ask this to you. Do all 4 NSF directorates need to be represented in the team? Scott, do you want to say something to that?
I do, and I'll say, Joanna, that 3 or 4 people in the Q&A asked the same question. So it must be an important question.
Yeah.
So I would beg the community to think first about the Grand Challenge, which we're calling the GC. So think first about your Grand Challenge and your problem. And as such, the proposals are encouraged to integrate across the 4 directorates mentioned: bio, SIES, which is computer information science and engineering, and SBE, which is social, behavioral, and economic sciences. So we're encouraging the idea to certainly span and integrate across those 4 broad areas and to be compelling across those sub-discipline span. If a project were not to engage the 4 areas with adequate participation to address the Grand Challenge, that could be a problem. So we're encouraging the teams to consider a multitude of disciplines spanning from computer and information science, biology, engineering, social, behavioral, and economic sciences.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And I've got one for you, Joanna. That's sort of an interesting a question about going between phase 1 and phase 2. Can these teams that are doing the development grants in phase 1, these teams that include co-PIs and PIs, can folks add to them after the development grant is submitted and possibly after a development grant is actually funded?
Yeah, we get asked that question. Yeah, that's a really great question. So of course you can add or remove PIs after the development grant has been submitted and funded. I mean, one of the reasons for this development grant is because you have an idea, but you may know that you need certain expertise in certain areas that you don't have, and that can be one of your goals. And so, of course, filling gaps in expertise is encouraged. You know, in a similar manner, you may realize that the original scientific direction that you had isn't quite where you wanted to go, and you have a new direction now, and that's fine if you need to remove people too. Okay, so another question for you, Scott. Is the focus of the PIPP phase one program on the COVID pandemic?
That's a fair question. I would say that pandemics certainly can occur in humans, animals, and plants. We're encouraging research down each of these avenues. The PIP, P-I-P-P, phase one can certainly cover any of these areas, but is not limited to COVID-19. And so I would encourage the researchers that are listening, and perhaps researchers that are going to put forth proposals due October 1, to focus on the future and to take a broad vision of the future, which would include a broad vision of pandemics.
Yeah, that's good advice.
One more. This is a tough one, Joanne. I'm going to give you a tough question. You mentioned Grand Challenge several times. What is a Grand Challenge? What would constitute a Grand Challenge?
Yeah. So that's a struggle for a lot of people. So we define it as, or the way I think about it is, it's an ambitious, it's difficult but achievable goal with important and valuable impacts when it's achieved. So it's something that's going to require coordinated strategies between different team members and also integrated collaborations from multiple disciplines. And it's this idea that at the end of the day, you're going to have outcomes that have a larger impact than if people were just working independently alone. And remember, on the slides, I gave examples of what some grand challenges are, but those are not meant to be limiting. Those are just to start spurring discussion. And let me look. Oh, yeah. Here's a really good question that somebody asked. Our team is focusing not on pandemic prevention, but on the prevention of other disasters, such as energy shortage, natural disasters, food supplies. Is this permissible for this planning grant or for PIPP?
All right, Joanna, well, I have a simple and clear answer to this one, which is no. The PIPP program, is focused on pandemic prevention with a particular focus on those caused by disease-causing organisms. So although energy shortage, natural disasters, food distribution and supply are really important, they aren't the focus of this program.
Okay.
And I want to introduce Joanna, another member of our team, Mitra Basu, and ask Mitra if she's seen any questions, possibly questions that have answers that she wants to bring forward.
Well, I'm looking through them right now. So as soon as I see something, I'll bring it up. But one question was that can they have participation from two directorate expertise kind of engineering? Let us, for example, say engineering and science. Will that disqualify them to apply? Or do they need all four directorates?
Right. So I think the intention of the PIPP working group is to start breaking down those silos and to really build transdisciplinary interactions and research across these four directorates. So, you know, I think that proposals that do this are probably those that are really responding to the spirit of this solicitation the best. Scott, do you have any other follow-up nuggets of wisdom for that?
just that, you know, when I mentioned earlier, the grand challenge is perhaps more important than the list of personnel, although the list of personnel is certainly important. So think about a grand challenge. We're encouraging you to think about a grand challenge that would have social, behavioral, or economic implications, that would have interest in computer science or engineering. And certainly, we're talking about pandemics, that would apply to something in the biological sciences. So that's my encouragement, to think about a problem that would span the entire gamut.
Okay. And I see a question here that says, and that I'll go ahead and answer right now. Does the grand challenge include areas in agriculture, crop biosecurity, spatial temporal analysis, et cetera? And the answer is yes. You know, there are pandemics and epidemics in animals and plants, and so that would be perfectly acceptable.
Another question that Mitra answered in the Q&A was regarding the number of these phase one grants that will be funded. And we are shooting for 25 to 30, as you can see in the solicitation. And I'm gonna post the websites one more time in case someone joined late and wasn't able to see the chat. And you can check that out on your own through the solicitation.
And okay.
So there is a question which probably should be answered live. How does a planning grant differ from a research or center grant? And should the proposal include preliminary results, promised publications, and other deliverables within the 18 months time frame?
Yeah, that's a great question. Mitra, do you want to give any thoughts? I'm happy to give mine.
As I think Scott and Joanna both have pointed out, that we are looking for a grand challenge problem, right? So you need to think about a grand challenge problem around which you are going to build your proposal or your activities. We are not asking you to solve the grand challenge problem at this point, but we are asking you to look at a small portion of it, which fits into this bigger scheme, and solve it or propose solutions to that. So that is how it differs from the center scale, where center scale is going to take a more holistic view from end to end. This is not the 18 month, this cannot be done in 18 months. Preliminary results are helpful, of course, publications are, NSF is always looking for, you know, for publications. So I can end there. Maybe Joanna and Scott can add to that.
I think you're right on the money. I think, of course, one of the things that this planning grant can do is give you the opportunity to work together as teammates, and that may lead to publications, or past publications are always great evidence that there's already transdisciplinary research that's occurring, and that's obviously seen as a positive.
And there's some questions in the Q&A regarding what types of organizations could apply. And one such question was, can a small business be a co-PI or a sub-award? And the answer is certainly yes. It's allowable for for-profit organizations to be a sub-awardee on the planning grant. And we're just going to point you to the PAPP website that I posted in the chat, which is true for any NSF proposal. You're going to want to consult the PAPP. And so the answer to that question is yes.
I also see a lot of questions about budgets, so perhaps we can kind of handle these on block. And Mitra, I might defer to you here. So, is there a max budget for phase one? Are there budgetary restrictions? In other words, can we include student and faculty salary or research or travel? Or should it only be used for team and proposal development? And so for at least for the first one, remember that we're expecting to have about 25 proposals funded with a pot of about $25 to $30 million. We want you to submit a proposal and a budget for that proposal, and the budget should be commensurate with the amount of work that you're proposing to do. The guideline is that, as you saw on the slides, was that we're expecting around $1 million per proposal.
And there are several questions also on the center scale grant in phase two. I want to say at this point that we cannot really comment on that because it is not yet, solicitation has not been yet posted, and we cannot comment how many center scale grant will be awarded or what will be the size of it. We can only talk about the phase one development grant.
I think there's some other questions about how we're defining PIs versus co-PIs versus senior personnel. So it's my understanding that the cover page for NSF allows for one PI and then four co-PIs, and that any other co-PIs you want to put on, you'd have to put on as senior personnel. But any co-PIs that are as senior personnel would still be considered co-PI, and so that would be their one shot at a PIPP planning grant. Did I understand that right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, great.
And then you can also add there that you can be a PI or a co-PI only on a single proposal.
Right.
You cannot be in multiple proposals.
Okay, all right. What other questions are you guys seeing? Can the budget exceed $1 million if it's justified? We'd really like you to keep it at $1 million because we'd like to be able to have as many of these planning grants as we can. If for some reason you really think that you need more funding, it might be best for you to email PIPP@nsf.gov to talk through this.
So one question I see, Joanna, in the Q&A, that was asked a couple of different ways. Is the focus on prediction? Is the focus on prevention? What is NSF looking for here? And one of our program directors essentially answered this by saying that, you know, we welcome a multitude of perspectives, and we're not prescribing a priori the science that you're going to do, the conclusions that you're going to come to. We're just trying to put out a framework where we can see these multidisciplinary grand challenges addressed by the broader community.
I think that's a really nice way to answer it. Yeah. So I'm still seeing a lot of can investigators be involved as senior personnel in more than one proposal? And the answer is no, because of the length limit for the cover page, co-PIs will have to be listed as senior personnel. And if you have questions or confusion, because that can be confusing, just email us at PIPP@nsf.gov. What other kinds of questions are you seeing, Scott? Can government agencies or labs partner with universities? Absolutely.
Similarly, can FFRDCs participate? And essentially the answer is that they can in rare circumstances where they're justified, they cannot lead the effort. If you don't know what that acronym is, Maybe that question doesn't apply to you, but think like the minor corporation.
Oh, here's a really nice question. Thank you for the presentation. Well, thank you for coming. Is there any policy regarding predominantly undergraduate institutions or research in undergraduate institutions? So me personally, I think that predicting pandemics intelligently is an amazing platform for undergraduate research. I would really hope that there are predominantly undergraduate institutions that submit proposals.
Another one that's come up is, you know, are you all going to require a letter of intent? And I believe the answer is no. We are not going to ask for letters of intent.
Go ahead, Mitra.
Okay, so there is a question. They want to know the team's characteristic, right? The PIs and co-PIs. Whether the lead PI will be a senior academic or if the co-PIs can be assistant professors. So that's the question. So how would you answer that?
So say that again.
So what they're asking is that the lead PI, does he have to be a senior academic person? If the co-PIs, if they're assistant professors, would that be viewed negatively?
So no, you know, a lead PI can be an assistant, associate, or full professor. That's a great question. Thanks. Sorry, I didn't understand that at first.
Yeah, so as soon as you think of a grand challenge problem, that really sets you to figure out your team, figure out the expertise you need. So we are not looking at the seniority of a person. We are, of course, looking at they have some expertise, the relevant expertise in the area proposed. Right? So think of the grand challenge problem first.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, definitely. And I also see in the solicitation, Mitra, as to your question, teams should be designed to achieve the goals of the grand challenge and to demonstrate commitment to diversity and inclusion in composition and leadership. So that's the guidance that the solicitation provides.
And there's another question that's come up because remember, I said, hey, if you have questions or you want to send us a one-page perspective, our prospectus, email us at pipp@nsf.gov. So I'm expecting our email inbox will be flooded, but somebody asked, do you have a format for the prospectus? How detailed would be appropriate? And I think here, you know, you wanna spend your time talking about that grand challenge right up front, why you think it's a grand challenge and the areas of research and broader impacts that you're thinking about investigating to get back to that grand challenge. So all of that in one page. Please don't use 7-point font, we'll die.
Well, I've got a great question that just came up for you too. Is the goal of the PIPP phase one to solve a problem, pandemic prevention, prediction, or to establish support and teaming as a phase two center?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the phase one is really meant to set up the team to go forward to then develop a proposal that's going to be competitive for phase two. So, you know, we realize that there are some collaborators who might not even need a planning grant because they've been working together for so long and they have all of these networks and connections and they can do this without a planning grant. However, there may be other PIs who are new to thinking about transdisciplinary research, and this planning grant is meant for them to be able to start developing their ideas that they have about solving a grand challenge in PIPP.
Yes, to that, maybe I will add that So there is a research component in this development grant. So the grand challenge problem being a grand challenge, we are not asking you to solve that within 18 months, but we are asking you to take a small piece of it and solve it so that when you submit a phase two, it should fit right into the bigger picture. That's, so there is a research component to the phase one development.
Great. I have a couple, one's for the biologist, or for one of our biologists, which is the focus on viral disease or can other zoonotic diseases serve as a proof of concept?
That's a great question. So, you know, any microbe that can cause a pandemic, whether that's animal, plant, humans, that's would be appropriate for PIPP. It doesn't have to be viruses. It doesn't have to be SARS-CoV-2. There's so much more out there.
And I see a question that I think I can even answer, which is does NSF in the next few months plan on facilitating teaming? Mm-hmm. And really our answer to that is that we held 4 workshops, and I'm giving you the web address for those materials from the 4 workshops, which I think are still relevant, very much so. And one of the objectives of the workshops was to facilitate teaming. At this point, our position is we're not going to get involved in marrying groups for this endeavor. So the answer at this point is no.
I also see that there's questions about submissions from institutions. Is there a limit on the submission from one institution? The answer is no. So one institution could have more than one submission. That's perfectly fine.
And I'd also like to invite anyone on the NSF team that is seeing something that I'm not seeing that should be articulated for the entire audience to jump in if you like.
So there is a question. So the question reads as follows. I assume the grand challenge is something that could be addressed by phase one and phase two. How many years do you estimate phase two to be? It will help score the grand challenge if you know the total time you will have to address it, 3 years or 5 years. So we cannot comment yet on the phase two part. Phase one is of course 18 months. But if you look at a typical NSF center, then it is usually anywhere between 5 to 10 years, or what is the AI Institute? Scott? The AI Institutes are 10 years or 5 years?
Are 5 years, correct?
Okay, so usually I think the center scale that NSF right now supports are somewhere around 5 years. A typical NSF center.
The question about public health expertise, Nakia answered it typing, but maybe you wanna talk about it, because the feedback from anonymous attendee was it's remarkable to still see that the most consistent feedback I heard at the previous workshop, the striking absence of public health expertise.
Do you want to read the answer to that, Mamadou?
So the answer is Nakia was proposal should focus on identifying a grand challenge and propose a solution approach. The PIP initiative focuses on fundamental research in biological science, computer information science, and engineering. PIs would assemble the expertise needed to tackle the grand challenges, which would not preclude the involvement of public health expertise. PIs should recognize, however, the emphasis is on fundamental research in the area identified and that there are differences in the research funded by NSF as opposed to NIH. So if you have additional question about where NSF and NIH differ, please send us an email to pipp@nsf.gov.
Okay. There's another question about the slide that will be sent in. So remember, after you submit your proposal, you'll need to submit a single PowerPoint summary slide. Does it need to be any particular formatting or content requirements? You know, the whole idea is that it gives a summary of what your group, the grand challenge that your group is addressing and how you're doing that.
Question maybe for Mitra, are there any time restrictions in terms of the percentage for a PI associated with this program?
Could you repeat that, please?
Sure, if there's a PI of a phase one development grant, does that PI have a minimum percentage or maximum percentage that he or she devotes to the project?
It all depends on the grand challenge problem that you pick. And there is no minimum or maximum that we can specify. It just depends on how much time you need to devote to the project. That's difficult to say for me.
Great. Another question is workforce development a part of this initiative?
So remember that, you know, there's a couple of things that are going on here. So this is a proposal to NSF. So we certainly expect you to be addressing not only intellectual merits, but also broader impacts. And so if one of your broader impacts is workforce development, of course, you know, that's going to be important and valued here. I think the other part of this, though, is that in workforce, one of the ways to develop a really strong workforce going forward is to have people who can think and work in different teams and work with team members where they may not be all speaking the same language. And so showing how you're going to develop your workforce over the planning grant is going to be useful in you being able to communicate how you all are working as a team to develop that next generation of STEM leaders.
Well put. And another question that surfaced is, you know, what about medical doctors, physicians? Can they be co-PIs, PIs? Certainly.
Sure, absolutely.
No yep. restriction.
Yep. Is there a due date for a prospectus? No, but you know, these are due October 1st, so I would strongly recommend you not turn it in on September 29th and expect us to be able to tell you something. So the sooner the better. It gives us time to respond to you. It gives you guys time to think about and mature your ideas.
So there are a few questions on whether the team members can be all from the same institution.
Yeah. So if you just happen to have an institution where everything that you want and need is in one institution, that's perfectly fine. I would envision that will probably be the minority of the proposals, but we certainly will not hold that against you.
So I have a question that I can't answer. So maybe the rest of the team can. I've heard during the presentation that it's possible to send a one-page prospectus to the PIP team. Is there a deadline for such?
Okay, so Scott, I just answered that question, but I think you were scrolling.
Okay.
So there's no deadline, but if you want meaningful, substantive feedback, do not send it to us September 28th or 29th. The sooner you can get your group together, think about it, and come up with a grant challenge and send it to us for feedback, the better everything's going to be for everybody.
Your answer was even better the second time.
Let's see. What other kind of questions have we been seeing here? Does opioid epidemic or substance abuse disorders count as a grand challenge? And the answer is no. What we're looking for, because we're talking about pandemic preventions, we're really talking about disease-causing organisms here.
Okay. What about Joanna and Mitra, a potential PI asked about the education component. Is education going to be part of the review? Will it be tied to the success of a phase one proposal? Can you make any comment on that?
So I'll just reiterate what I said, which is, you know, of course, we're seeing PIs who are going to be transdisciplinary and working together. An expectation is that they will have trainees in their labs that would benefit from this transdisciplinary environment, and that we would expect to see a vision in the planning grant and maybe initial signs of how this transdisciplinary education would occur to help develop that next generation of STEM leaders for our country.
Any comments about the potential involvement of foreign institutions or even international institutions such as WHO, the World Health Organization? Mitra, any thoughts on that?
I don't know. Should we talk about it and later get back to them?
Yeah.
So there are questions which probably we cannot get to it. There are 96 questions I see. So, and if there are questions that we could not answer, we will take those questions and provide an answer in a PDF document in the PIPP program page. So give us a few days, we can get just that.
Excellent. Well, any thoughts on geography, attendee asks? Is there any preference on having people from the same region or state or from multiple regions or states, or any thoughts from the NSF folks on this topic?
I'm going to punt that to Mitra because I'm having a little bit of trouble here.
So again, as I think we all are saying the same thing, more or less, that you pick up the problem first, like the grand challenge problem that you are thinking of solving. And for that, you are looking for your team members. So that is what is important, not whether you got all of them from the same institution, not that you have put them all over the country. I do not think that scores any point for it. But of course, thoughtful consideration of your team forming helps. But think of yourself as a reviewer of such a proposal. What would you do? I would do it that way, that whether I would pick someone from California and someone from New York, is that important? Or do I need the right people for the problem I am trying to propose?
I also see that there's a lot of questions about international collaborations and foreign institutions like partners or subcontractors. And it's, you know, it's a long answer to the question. And so these will be in the frequently asked questions And these are also in PAPPG. So if the FAQs will come up in the next couple of days and you'll have information there. So we're not ignoring you. It's just, it's kind of a long answer and we're just gonna save it for the FAQs.
Sounds good. And I invite any of the other NSF folks to jump in if we're missing an important question at this point.
I also know that it's been, we started about an hour ago, it's 3:05 now, and we started at 2:05. I am not sure how people are doing in terms of Zoom fatigue here. I do want to remind everybody that the questions and answers will be saved and will be added to our PIPP website so that you can go back and see them. We will also have FAQs out soon. Are there any, Scott, do you want to keep on going for another couple minutes to answer questions or do you?
Let's see, it looks like Rebecca may have something.
Okay, great.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to echo what other people said about the scope of these grand challenges and the desire of the PIP working group to see things that really are spanning these different disciplines. And wanted to say to the audience that we recognize that this is not easy because we have many different silos and we're not always comfortable or even we don't always even know who we might be reaching out to work with people in those other research areas. So we know that it's a big ask and we just really encourage you in the audience to think about ways that you can bring in people from these different areas of expertise because we really believe that it's going to make a stronger set of teams and scientific projects.
Thank you. Thank you. I see a couple of other questions that I'm not meaning to avoid these, but I think that they're more on scientific merit and might be better to address to PIPP. So that includes things like, does research into developing a local community's response to an emergency other than a pandemic qualify? And the answer is no, because we're looking for disease-causing organisms. And you'd really need to make it clear how developing a local community's response to an emergency is going to answer a grand challenge that's in within the PIPP interests. And if you want to talk about that further, just email us.
That's great. I'd really encourage you all to look at the workshop websites, the four workshops, a lot of great materials there and a lot of things that might provide some clarity if you're just coming to this for the first time.
I think there's one other interesting question. How can you describe the range of activities you envision as planning? And you know, it seems obvious to us, but we've thought about this for a while. So it's, you know, getting your scientific team together to identify the questions, to ask if it's a good question, to ask if there's feasibility in the way that you're tackling this grand challenge. And so that may mean preliminary experiments, but it's also about the broader impacts and how are you starting to plan to train your trainees in a transdisciplinary way. So these activities can include meetings, it could include bringing in seminar speakers for you to help identify missing pieces of the puzzle. It could involve talking to people at your Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning so that you can understand how to maximize transdisciplinary training for your trainees. So these are the types of activities. Scott, anything you want to add?
I think that was a wonderful answer. And little over the hour, we may be coming to the end of our time.
Okay.
But we want to remind you certainly that there's this email channel, pipp@nsf.gov, for additional questions. And for specific questions, maybe that regard your research or your ideas. And anything else, Mitra?
No, I think you have summed it up very well. I think I just want to thank all of you for coming to this webinar. And if you have questions, please send it to the email address that Scott mentioned. And we will try our best to respond to those. And one page when we have one. But the sooner the better, as Joanna said.
Yeah. So we appreciate your participation today. I am sure we will hear from a lot of you. We're looking forward to meeting you and hearing your ideas. And with that, thank you very much. And we'll wave goodbye. That's what we do here.
Bye.
Bye.